Maddie, and I'm a KMUW listener. I recently attended KMUW's Pint Night and had a great time. It's a laid-back environment with the opportunity to meet staff, other listeners, and folks from all walks of life. The next one is at White Crow Cider Company at 5:30 tonight. I hope you'll join us.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 15th. I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Kansas has more rural hospitals at risk of closure than any other state, and changes at the federal level are further complicating things. That leaves hospital officials planning for the future.
We have to do what's right beyond our individual hospitals. We have to do what's right for regions.
How hospital officials are hoping to survive is coming up after the news. The Wichita City Council unanimously agreed to another contract with Visit Wichita, this time totaling $3.1 million. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish has more.
Wichita's contract with marketing firm Visit Wichita increased 12% this year to $3.1 million. That money will come from Wichita's hotel tax revenue. City leaders say visitors spent $1.5 billion in the area last year. Along with the Visit Wichita contract, the council approved spending on a strategic visitor plan. Here's Visit Wichita President Susie Santo.
It's all Wichita to the visitor. I think it's important with the growth that's happened in Goddard, with the growth that's happening in Park City, that we really look holistically at the region.
Funding for the $300,000 plan will be split evenly between the city, Visit Wichita, and outside fundraising. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Kansas high school students are taking more college-level courses than ever before, but as KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports, school attendance remains a challenge.
Education Commissioner Randy Watson says more than 40,000 Kansas high school students are taking some type of post-secondary class this year. That's a 25% increase since 2021. A new report from the Kansas Department of Education also shows record-high graduation rates and more students taking AP classes. But Watson says nearly one in five Kansas students is chronically absent. That number peaked during the COVID-19 pandemic, but is still well above the rate 7 years ago.
While it's coming down, it's not coming down very quickly.
The percentage of white students in Kansas fell more than 10% since 2012. The number of Hispanic students has risen nearly 28%. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
A member of the Kansas State Board of Education took time during yesterday morning's board meeting to praise and pray for late far-right activist Charlie Kirk. Republican Debbie Potter of Garden Plain left the board table and addressed members during the citizens' open forum. She called Kirk a biblical prophet and urged the board and others to pray in his memory.
Father, please, please bring our nation together. Please use this for good and not for evil. Please bring us into unity under this Constitution that you blessed us with. Amen.
Congress designated yesterday as National Day of Remembrance for Kirk, who was killed during a college event last month. It would also have been Kirk's 32nd birthday. Republican board member Dennis Hirschberger of Hutchinson stood beside Potter during her address. The possibility of splitting up Johnson County into multiple congressional districts drew concern from residents at a town hall in Lenexa on Monday evening. Republican leaders in Kansas want to redraw the state's congressional maps because they say Democratic U.S. Representative Sharice Davids does not represent most Kansans. Tony Woods is a pharmacy technician who lives in Lenexa. She says state lawmakers should follow the standard process and redistrict every 10 years.
I want to be represented fairly. It should be done according to census, and let's not monkey around with it when it's not time.
A group of legislative leaders has approved $460,000 for a possible four-day special session. Butler Community College will formally inaugurate its new president tomorrow. Tamara Daniel became the sixth president in school history in June. Her inauguration ceremony will take place at 3 on the school's El Dorado campus. Daniel has more than 25 years of experience in the community college field. Before arriving at Butler, she was provost and vice chancellor for academic affairs for a community college in Arkansas. Butler is the second largest community college in Kansas with nearly 7,000 students. It will celebrate its 100th anniversary in 2027. WSU Tech is celebrating the opening of a new center for its technology programs tomorrow. The ceremony for the Hub for Advanced Computer Knowledge will take place at WSU Tech South on East Terry. Tours with live lab demonstrations will take place after the 2 p.m. ceremony. The center is part of an expansion that will house programs like computer support specializing, cloud computing, and cybersecurity. It will also partner with Wichita Public Schools to prepare high school students for careers in IT with training programs and hands-on experience. NFL Hall of Famer Peyton Manning will serve as honorary chairman this year for the Textron Aviation Special Olympics Airlift. Textron organizes the event in which aircraft and volunteer pilots transport athletes to and from the USA Games. Manning will help recruit aircraft owners to become part of the effort. The airlift began in 1987 and is the largest in the world. It's flown more than 10,000 athletes to the national competition. The Special Olympics USA Games will take place next summer in Minneapolis. Boeing's proposed acquisition of Spirit AeroSystems has received approval from regulators in Europe. The European Commission had raised concerns about the sale. It worried that the move could put European plane maker Airbus at a disadvantage. Spirit builds aerostructures for both Boeing and Airbus. To win commission approval, Boeing has agreed to return all of Spirit's Airbus work to Airbus. Boeing will also complete the sale of a Malaysian facility owned by Spirit that does work for Airbus. Spirit is Wichita's largest employer. The deal is expected to close this year. Several ramps will close this weekend for road construction near K-96 and I-135. Officials with the Kansas Department of Transportation say the ramp from westbound K-96 to southbound I-135 will close, so will ramps connecting K-96 to Hydraulic. The closures are scheduled to begin around 6 Saturday morning. Work in the area should be completed Sunday afternoon. The construction is part of the multi-phase North Junction project. It began in 2023 and is scheduled to end next year. Transportation officials say the work will improve safety and traffic flow in the area. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMEW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Kansas has more rural hospitals at risk of closure than any other state, according to one estimate. Further complicating things is that in 2028, Medicaid reimbursement rates will start decreasing. But as Noah Taborda of the Kansas News Service reports, a change to a state tax will give a few years of cushion for struggling hospitals to implement long-term strategies.
Nearly every seat is taken at the Remnant Cafe in Parsons, Kansas. I'm here visiting Labette Health, a local hospital, and its CEO, Brian Williams, who's caught up in a conversation. That's not unusual for Williams. In a town of just under 10,000 people, a hospital CEO is a pretty visible figure, and people have lots to say. Many are concerned about the long-term viability of their local hospitals.
Is he still at Wall?
And time is definitely ticking. Under the Big Beautiful Bill, Medicaid reimbursement will drop 10% each year from 2028 until the rate is drastically lower than it is today. That's why Williams always stresses the value hospitals bring to a community and the importance of supporting hospitals now.
So, you know, what's the saying? I won't probably get it exactly right, but, you know, rising tide lifts all ships, all boats. That's what we need to do today.
Williams describes his hospital situation as better than most and worse than some. But since his arrival in 2015, he's watched facilities in nearby Independence, Kansas, and Oswego close, and one in Fort Scott close twice. That leaves Labette Health as the only hospital in the region equipped to immediately handle traumatic injuries. It serves a 6-county area and has 99 short-term inpatient beds. Doctors see well over 100,000 patients each year across their clinics and in the hospital. Parsons native Justin Brown has been one of those patients on multiple occasions. He's glad the hospital is still here amid struggles to maintain a facility in nearby towns.
The care that I've always received at Labette Health has been top-notch from the doctors, to the surgeons, to the lab, and all the departments overall.
There is a lifeline for 39 hospitals like Labette Health that are reimbursed for inpatient services based on a fixed amount rather than actual cost. An increase in the state provider tax on hospitals from 3% to 6%. It's long overdue, says Cindy Samuelson of the Kansas Hospital Association. In fact, in nearby states like Missouri, higher rates allowed them to generate more revenue and draw down matching federal dollars for years.
Community thrives when they have a healthy, thriving hospital, and the sustainability of employers being able to come there and have a business, because then their employees have care, and then retirees being able to retire there in the years where they really need healthcare services.
Of the Labette Health patient base, about 13% are Medicaid patients. That's a lot compared to hospitals in other parts of the state. Estimates suggest as much as $1 billion statewide will be generated by the tax and matching federal money in the coming year. That means hospital officials like Williams have a small window of increased financial stability to plan before Medicaid rates decrease.
How can we eliminate unnecessary duplications in rural areas that are fragile? How can we consolidate where appropriate? How can we recruit together?
That's Williams' vision for Southeast Kansas healthcare, a collaborative effort. Like how Labette Health and Independence Kansas teamed up to open what is essentially known today as a rural emergency hospital. He noted that several towns in Southeast Kansas have one or more emergency medical services units. What if, he wonders, they could combine them, or at the very least, streamline them?
We have to do what's right beyond our individual hospitals. We have to do what's right for regions.
Maybe these ideas don't work at all. Maybe they aren't feasible. But it can't hurt to have the conversation, Williams says. Ultimately, he's confident Kansans will find ways to maintain sufficient health care, even if it looks a little different. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Noah Taborda in Parsons.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We're back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.